first lesson this 11th Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom will be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in the parched places, and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a water garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your interest on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestors Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The psalm this morning is Psalm 103, 1 through 8. We'll read this together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy? Who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so your mouth and youth is renewed like eagles? The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The second lesson this morning is from Hebrews. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, "I tremble with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable angels in a festival gathered, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to sprinkle blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See, you do not refuse the one who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, "Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven." This phrase, "yet once more," indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire. Here ends the readings.
She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from the bondage on this Sabbath day?" When he had said this, all of his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you,
O
Christ.
You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children who are here. I know there's a couple of you. Oh, but we're not going to sit up there. Don't even go up there. Oh, I've got a job. Is your brother here today?
He is in the cry room.
Oh, he's in the cry room? Well, he might want to help. We're doing something today. Maybe? Maybe not? We'll see. Okay. Well, I have a job. Come here. I have a job for you. Okay. So, did either of you start school recently?
I already started.
You already started school?
Actually, I haven't started kindergarten yet.
Soon you're going to be starting kindergarten, though, right? And you're in second grade? Oh. Do you use one of these? And they're on these special papers, and I need you to help me with something, okay? I need you to go up and down these aisles and pass these out to everyone seated there. Can you guys do that?
Okay.
Okay, get going. There's a lot of people. Go, go, go. Here, I'll hold your cards. Let me hold your cards. Oh, a lot of cards. I'm going to put your cards right here. Go, right there. They can use one. Good job. We got lots of people. Oh, pick them up there. We'll pass them out here. Pass them out. Make sure everybody's holding one. There's a couple right there. You pass them all out. You missed this whole row of people. All right, I'll come back. There we go. Make sure everybody's holding one. I got them. Okay. Oh, look it. See the fountain sitting way over there. Go in this row. Getting way over there. Make sure everybody's got one. Everybody's got to have one. You got more? Liam, come get this row. Look at all these people in this row need some. And your mom needs one. Oh, here, give those two right over there. Mr. Emerson, Ms. Deanna, way over there. Go get them. Go get them. There you go. Oh, the back row. Look at the back row. Here. I don't know. Do we have enough pencils? We have three left. Okay. Look at the back row back here. Over here, Liam. Oh my goodness. We have the exact same number of people as we do pencils. It's almost as if somebody planned that. Gentlemen, come back. We're not done. We're not even half done. Come here. But is there anybody out here who is not holding one? Oh, good. That was planned out pretty well. Come here. I need you to hold these. I got some more. Don't worry. Okay. Yes. So, I didn't grab them for myself. So, on this pencil has something very special. It says, "This is no ordinary pencil. This pencil has been prayed over with you in mind. Keep this pencil at your desk or in your backpack, and when you are sad or having a bad day or just need help in doing your homework, you can hold this pencil in your hand, close your eyes, and know that God is always there to help you out." So it's easy to remember that God is with us today, right? We're in church, it's on Sunday. But these pencils are special pencils that have been prayed over by all these people. And just minute, I'm going to have all these people pray over them. And then guess what? You're going to get to take one of these pencils with you.
Whoa.
Whoa, that's the reaction I wanted. And you know where the rest of these pencils are going to go? The rest of these pencils are going to go with the study buddies. So kids come to get homework help, they're going to have that. Some of these pencils are going to go out to Mama Hill's house. They're going to be used all sorts of places. And these are not just regular pencils. These are pencils that all of these people have prayed over. Because God's not just here, right? God's out there with us. All right, so I need you to hold your pencils up. Congregation, hold your pencils up. Good. All right, time for our prayer. Ready? Close your eyes. Here's our prayer. Lord Jesus, please bless these pencils and the children that use them. Remind them that you are always with them in scary times and in sad times and in joyful times. Lord, you don't reside just here in this church, but go with us wherever we are. In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Good job. Okay, let's collect all the pencils, get your favorite one, and then we'll put all the pencils in here. Folks, if you could pass them towards the center, I'd appreciate that. Your mom's got them. She's going to get one. Don't worry. All right. Okay, quick, go collect them all. Go collect them. Okay, I'll hold on to yours. Okay, put them in here. Go collect them. Go collect them. Look right here. Get these. I'm holding your pencil for you. Right here. Put these in here. I'll hold your pencils for you, okay? Put these in here. Because these are going to go to the Study Buddy Children's and to Mama Hill's house. Yeah, unless you have someone in your life who wants one of these or needs one of these, you're welcome to. Yeah, you want one. If you need this pencil to go with you, you by all means keep it. All right. Oh, right there. Get him over there, Jack. Good job. Oh, go right here. Go get your toys. They're sitting all the way down the front there. And there's his pencil. And here are his four pencils. Got them all in here?
Yes.
Thank you so much. Good job. And your mom's got your pencil. Good job praying over those.
Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, we know that you reside in this place and in this day that you have set aside as your Sabbath. We pray that it would reorient us to be focused on you as a God into our week. In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. So I had our kids and you help me praying over those pencils, which will go to some of our Study Buddy kids and some of our Mama Hills kids, or to some of you if you need them as well. By all means, come up and grab one if I took it from you too soon. Because sometimes we need to remember that God is not just in this place, but is out of this place as well. But looking at today's gospel, it talks a lot about Sabbath, about keeping the Sabbath. And I have to be honest, I think this is one of the commandments, one of the Big Ten, that we are terrible at keeping. Truly, truly awful. Thank you for laughing, because I think we kind of are. Yeah. If you think about it, how many of you don't have to raise your hands unless you're bold. How many of you are thinking in your heads, well, when I get done with church, then I've got to swing by the grocery store. I'm going to make sure that I make enough pot roast for the rest of the week and pack it up. I've got that giant pile of laundry, get that knocked out. Then I have to make sure to, you know, call my insurance agent or making this list of things that you can get done because you've got a free afternoon. Yeah, some of you aren't brave enough. Yes, laundry was on my list, but my lovely husband did it yesterday, so. But we're often so quick to brag about breaking this commandment, aren't we? Can you imagine us saying, well, I would love to spend a true Sunday in Sabbath, a true day of rest, but I'm just so busy. I've just got so much to do, I can't bother to be taking one afternoon off. What if we were that way about the rest of God's commands? Just think about it for a second. You know what? I would love to not steal, but I'm just really greedy and I want that stuff, so I just had to steal it. You know, I didn't want to commit adultery, but what can I say? I'm just full of lust. I didn't want to lie, but, you know, my interests would benefit if I lied about that person. So, you know, but I'm so glad you don't lie, that you have the luxury of following that command. And I'm not blameless in this at all. okay? The old adage that sometimes a preacher preaches most to herself is 100% true. And I believe in my case, this is an inherited flaw from my parents, so I'm already passing the blame off to them. But I know in my brother, who has a very laid-back friend, was talking about a day off, a Saturday off that they had, and he said, you know what? I have the whole day off with nothing scheduled. And his friend said, you schedule your time off? And my brother looked right at him and said, you don't? We are so quick to pack everything in, to pack every minute with being proactive and productive. So many times during this past year and over this summer, I've said to our previous vicar and our current vicar, well, you know, you have to make sure to take time for rest, otherwise you're going to burn out. Don't do as I say, do as I do. Nope, flip it. Don't do as I do as I say. It was because of that starting in September, I'm going to be changing my day off. For as long as I know that I've been working in the church, I've been taking Fridays off. But, you know, as a pastor, I work on Sunday, so I can't really take a full day of rest. But it's traditional to take a different day of Sabbath, take a different day of resting in the Lord. I always keep it as Friday. But you know what happens? Everything that didn't get done Sunday through Thursday, oh, well, I'll just do it on Friday. God won't mind. I'm working on a Bible study for crying out loud. He'll be fine with that. So starting this next month, I'm going to be taking Mondays off with the idea that if I start by taking time off at the beginning of my week, that I can commit that time to being in rest with our Lord. It's kind of how we think about giving, right? About our first fruits giving. Do we give over to God the last bit of what we have that's kind of, you know, floating around at the bottom of our purse? Or do we give God our first fruits? Why don't we do that with our time? Give God the first of our time. I think we miss what Sabbath keeping really is. It's not just a break to get more stuff done. Much to my chagrin. It is not just a break to get more stuff done. It is a break to reorder all of the other stuff in our lives around God instead of around ourselves. I know many of you are saying, easier said than done, Pastor. My plate is full, and yeah, I know, I would love to, but I just can't. But I'm talking about this today because I need to hear it too. When we don't take Sabbath seriously, it gets dangerously close to idolatry. It gets close to idolatry when our busyness becomes our God. As a society, as an American society, we are so good at working really, really hard. But we have a problem keeping Sabbath. Because the most important thing is not resting and reconnecting with our Lord, but making sure that we get enough stuff done. Ironically, the people in our gospel story today also had a problem keeping Sabbath, but for a very different way. You see, Jesus came into the synagogue and he was teaching and preaching. And then came in a woman who was bent over for 18 years, could not look up. And so Jesus saw her, and what did he do? He healed her. He healed her. And immediately the synagogue leaders chastised Jesus for not keeping Sabbath. Because he worked on that day. It would be as if I said to the nurses in our congregation, you know, quit healing on the Sabbath. They're blaming him not for doing good works. What he did was just and right and important. But it was still work. And for those faithful leaders of that time, they were trying so hard to keep the rules. They were missing the very first command to have no other gods. Because like our ability to make busyness our God, Sabbath keeping had become their God. And Jesus was disrupting that and reminding them that God is God and nothing else. Jesus was transforming the way they thought about their rules and laws. And transformation is disruptive. Always. even when it's good. Transformation is always disruptive, even when it's a good thing. How many of you have ever done home improvement on your house? I feel like I shouldn't have to explain that. Oh, I don't. Thank you. It's lovely when you're done, but during the midst of it, there's people coming in and out, and there's dust on everything, and it's noisy. Somebody in my neighborhood had a jackhammer going all day yesterday. I thought, oh, this is really disruptive, but I'm sure it'll be lovely at the end. What about a new baby coming into your family? Are new babies disruptive? Yup. Is it a good thing? Yeah, mostly, until you're up at 3 a.m. To grow and to stretch in our faith and to be transformed by the Holy Spirit is what we are all called to do. But it doesn't come without a few growing pains. It doesn't happen without feeling a little bit uncomfortable. A few years ago on Easter, I preached a sermon and I used this beautiful Old Testament idea that's been around for about a century, this idea of orientation, disorientation, reorientation. That throughout our lives of faith, we know what our orientation is. We know what our marching orders are. And for the people in the synagogue, they understood their one job was to follow all the laws. And that included following the Sabbath law. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes in and disorients everything. He heals this woman. She's been bent over for 18 years. He couldn't wait another day. Disoriented them all together. And then he looked and he said, no. I'm going to reorient the way you look at this. Remind them that the Sabbath is a gift. It's not a punishment. Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath. What would that kind of transformation surrounding Sabbath look like for us? For you? Would it be disruptive? Probably. I remember one Lenten season in college, I was challenged with another person who was studying theology, and we took Sabbath every Sunday. That means no homework on Sunday, which means Friday night homework. You know how disruptive that is to a social calendar of a college student? Very disruptive. God, in the creation of the universe, made a whole extra day just for us to rest and reconnect with our Creator. But that means we reorient the rest of our life to create that space. So why are we so lax to receive this gift? I think it's because the idolatrous god of productivity often creeps its way into our well-intentioned lives. So do you want to know how to make this transformational change? Do you want to know how to become a person who honors this command? You do it. That's it. You do it. You start by doing it. What if we really took a Sabbath? What if instead of packing every free minute with something terribly important, we just didn't? What if we said no? What if Sunday morning, we take our time, we come to church, and then don't plan anything for the rest of the day. A whole day spent with family, or reading on a couch, or doing crochet, or playing croquet, whatever it is, what would it be like if the only scheduled thing for the whole day was to spend time in prayer and thanksgiving to God? What might other people think? Would they think I'm a slacker? What would others say about me that I'm not being productive on this day? Well, maybe that could be our witness. Maybe that could be our witness to the world about what's more important than our schedules and our commitment. Just think about that. What would it look like if we went out from this church looking for opportunities to be patient, to be kind, to be loving? As I mentioned, today is the 400th commemoration of when the first Africans were brought here against their will. At 3 o'clock today, the National Park Services and many churches are going to be ringing bells at 3 o'clock. What if you did that? Maybe you don't have bells at your house, but I bet some of you have a mobile phone that can chime at 3. What if you paused for just a moment to remember this is a day that our Lord has made, and even amidst our atrocities, God has the power to set us free? What if we were determined to seek out such opportunities because we've heard that extraordinary acts of grace are within the reach of ordinary people? What if we believed and acted on that belief that being patient and kind and loving and determined in a culture that is impatient and anxious and fearful would really make a difference? What might happen? I don't know until we do it. But I've heard promises that when we set time aside for God, there will be time enough for everything else. So may God bless you in your ceasing and in your rest, and may you be transformed by being renewed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.